The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. And this Saturday is the biggest one of them all. It's Grand National Day and we're going to look forward to that action. Now, my name is Mark Walton. I will shortly be talking to Catherine Fry to get her thoughts on the big race. And you can hear it all on Racing Radio on Grand National Day with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. They'll be live from 1:05pm for all of the action at Aintree and all of the rest of Saturday's action as well. Right now, though, Catherine Fry is on the line. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark. You well?
Yes, good, thank you. Really looking forward to Saturday. It was as if it weren't good enough that we've already had two pretty spectacular days at Aintree. That racing would stand on its own anyway. We've then got the Grand National coming up on Saturday, the big race for punters and people that don't really follow racing as well. It's the shop window for the industry. I can't wait. It's great to look forward to, isn't it?
It is, Mark. As we were just saying off air, that even though I'm not in Liverpool this year, I'm feeling the buzz already. It's just, I remember as a kid, obviously before I'd even gone to Aintree, just this weekend was always special, and there's a real buzz. I can't, I'm looking forward so much to obviously watching today's racing and knowing that you've got the big one tomorrow. It's brilliant. One of my favourite ever meetings.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Everyone looks forward to the Cheltenham Festival who follows racing, and then anyone who doesn't always knows that the Grand National's coming up, and it's the race that gets many people into racing. I remember as a youngster watching it with my dad and my granddad, and then you decide you like it, don't you? And you carry on watching more racing after that. It's the one that draws people in.
Yeah, no, it is actually, and just my godson has actually just started getting into racing purely from watching the National.
Stephen Powell was telling me yesterday, we all know that Stephen Powell and Darren Owen are absolutely obsessed with the National. He was telling me he can remember the first National when he was 5 years old, watching it with his grandparents. I can't remember anything from when I was 5 years old.
Actually, I have had this conversation with Steve Powell myself when I've been up in Leeds, and yeah, I actually remember watching a National with my dad when I was 5 years old, and it was Alden Eaty.
Yes.
And actually that is one of my favourite ever Nationals, and watching that programme again on Channel 4 last night, How to Win the National, and they showed the footage of Alden Eaty, and still just get that absolute, you know, it sends shivers up your spine, and actually there where you just rang me, Mark, I was sitting here watching the 77 National. It's just it's sensational. And I have to thank Steve Powell, actually. He was the first person to show me the Foynhaven race in colour. I don't know if you've seen it in black and white, and we all know obviously Steve watches the National every day. but big thanks to Steve Powell for that.
Yes, and the Alden Eaty one, what a great story that was.
Fantastic.
I watched the same programme last night as well, and just it goes down in history as one of the great winners, doesn't it? I mean, and that's the great thing about the National. There's always seems to be a story
behind the National. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we can't sit and reminisce about past Nationals for too long. So let's get stuck into Saturday's racing then. We're going to look at three races. We're not going to bother with the Grand National. Ah, I'm only joking. We're going to do the 2:05, which is the Maggall Novices Chase, the Silver Cross Stayers Hurdle, and the Grand National itself.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Let's get stuck into it. The 2:05 is the Maggall, and that is a grade one over 2 miles, and we've got seven of them in the lineup for this. You could probably state a case for a few of these. Who are you siding with, and we'll get your thoughts first.
I'm narrowly siding with Hinterland, Mark. I'm a little bit scared of Bolder Success, however I hear him pronounced both ways, so I'd go with it. Yeah, it's funny.
Ask Wizard how to pronounce it. He's trying to get it more French every time. He's trying to go Bolder Success.
Fantastic. I haven't heard that. I must listen to it. Obviously he was well beaten by Hinterland at Sandown in December, but he's a very, very, very slick jumper. We've seen that at Warwick, and we saw that at Kempton the last time out. Obviously, missed Cheltenham. Now, we've seen horses come like yesterday, you know, Guitar Pete, Sylvaniaco Conti. Obviously, Cheltenham not leaving that the mark that much. There always used to be that angle, didn't it, of, no, back fresh horses for Aintree. 3 weeks in between, obviously, each horse is a different case. Talking about a fresh horse with Boulder Stay in the form of the King Yard as well. Hinterland, I've always thought that there's a big one in him. Obviously, he won the Henry VIII at Sandown, beating poor old Grandjure, and actually beating subsequent JLT winner Tacon de Soy. Now, Tacon de Soy probably wouldn't have been that effective over 2 mile, but still beat him. It went on to obviously missed sort of a bit of an interrupted prep. Don't really know what was going on. Went to Cheltenham for the Queen Mother and actually unseated, but he hadn't been asked any questions when he unseated. So, you know, he does come here a relatively fresh horse. You are talking about a second season novice, and it's more of, obviously, the Marlmaid track is pretty trappy. It's pretty fast, and Hinterland, he just, watching him at Sandown was like, wow, he just gets into this fantastic rhythm. And he's jumping. Yeah, he can miss one with the unseat at Cheltenham, but I just think if he gets into that rhythm around here, he'd be very, very hard to peg back. Ted Veal, obviously, his season and campaign didn't really work out. They were heading, it was quite obvious that he was going to be heading to the Grand Annual, and then the English handicapper kind of slammed him. Obviously, Tony Martin wasn't too happy with that, ended up running in the Arkle. Took quite a heavy fall in the Arkle. So I don't know whether I'd be looking to back him here. See, Barry Geraghty deputising for the injured Brian Cooper. Trifolium, now, I know that a lot of people felt that maybe Trifolium would improve for the better ground in the Arkle as well. But look, he didn't travel very well to Cheltenham. That was the word of the morning of the race. He'd beaten four and a quarter lengths by Western Warhorse. Going back to yesterday's race with Western Warhorse, I know a lot of people are now saying, well, it was obvious that the Arkle was a fluke. I don't think it was. I think if you saw the state of Western Warhorse before yesterday's race, he threw everything away in the paddock. So I think you can forgive him that. But whether Trifolium has travelled okay. Obviously, Charles Byrne's been in pretty good form in Ireland lately. Like you say, Mark, we could sit here and make a case for every single one of them. Next Sensation obviously went off like a scolded cat in the Grand Annual and got pegged back. And so it could turn into a highly tactical affair. I'm quite happy to stick with Hinterland. But obviously the form of the King Yard, a little bit scared of Boulder Sussex, Boulder Success, or however you want to say him.
Yes. You can make a case for them all, but I do think it is probably between Hinterland and Boulder Succès. I was probably leaning the other way, thinking that they've saved him on purpose for this race. Obviously, they didn't want to send him to Cheltenham. Flatter track will suit. And, I quite like his chances. King Yard in good form, as you mentioned. So, yeah.
I wondered if they skipped Cheltenham as well, because do you remember at the beginning of the season where he took that horrendous fall at Cheltenham because of the low sun? And there was sort of a lot of furore after. And I wondered if they just sort of maybe missed that. Everything was in mind. And obviously the King Yard was coming back off the back of the virus. And obviously, I mean, look, they're firing now. And that's fantastic to see. I just wondered if that was influential in their decision of waiting till Liverpool. But, yeah, I've always been a Hinterland fan. So I'll stick with him.
OK. He was clear at Cheltenham that day, wasn't he, when he fell as well?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah, it was a nasty fall.
Yeah, it was, yeah. OK, well, Hinterland then for Catherine in the 2:05 at Aintree. Let's move on to the 2:50, and this is the Silver Cross Stayers Hurdle, registered as the Liverpool Hurdle. It's a grade one over the extended 3 miles, and we've got At Fisher's Cross in there, we've got Zarkander, Melodic Rendezvous, Whisper you wouldn't write off completely either. Thousand Stars has run some good races in the past. It's a good renewal of the Stayers Hurdle.
Yeah, it's cracking. There's still a few people saying that because more of that wasn't a good run, but I think it is. I'm not disappointed with the lineup at all. My selection is Zarkander. It was kind of, couldn't really work out what was going on in the World Hurdle, to be honest. I think I'm a big fan of Noel Feely, so I'm not criticising his tactics at all. But I just wonder if he was kind of, where they had the doubt of the trip, was he being held up sort of almost too much to get the trip? And then he kind of, I don't think, it wasn't that he didn't stay, because he absolutely flew up the hill to grab fourth place. I've always seen Zarkander as a three-miler. when he won the Aintree Hurdle last year. Immediately after that, I thought, oh yeah, World Hurdle horse. Obviously, since the Aintree Hurdle last year, we've had the advent of more of that and Annie Power. I think this track. Probably we know he's won at Cheltenham, but he's also won at Aintree, and I do think this could suit him a little bit better. You're right in what you say about Whisper. The most annoying thing is at Cheltenham, I've sort of been looking at Whisper all season, watching him run mighty races off of top weight. I didn't back him at Cheltenham because I thought that the Foss last race with Safa de Rey had possibly, it was in desperate ground, quite a hard race. I thought that might have taken the edge off him, and that back get me out of here, so you can imagine my feelings on the line. But no, he's obviously very hardy and very tough and fully deserves his place in this lineup. Thousand Stars, what a fantastic servant he's been to the Mullins team. Obviously third in the Aintree Hurdle last year. And the one thing that does concern me is that he had a bit of a bad experience at O'Toy last year. I think he finished very, very distressed. I'm not sure if he actually went down or whether they got him before he went down. You wouldn't have expected him to sort of get, he used to get near her and can fly in the old days, but he didn't really get near his stablemate at Leopardstown in December. And then beaten by Sailors One at Leopardstown at the beginning of March. He's a grand servant and still fully deserves his place in this lineup, but I just wonder if his best days are behind him. I think Salubrious has had a tough old season and ran, wasn't disgraced in the World Hurdle, but I think maybe his season is starting to tell slightly. Melodic Rendezvous, of course, very interesting stepping up in trip. At Fisher's Cross, I think at Fisher's Cross, considering how he started off the season, is running with absolute aplomb, really. He won the Sefton last year, and that day, I was actually at Aintree that day last year, and I thought, oh, he was never ever going to be able to jump out of good ground the way he jumps out of heavy ground, but he did. Saw him do exactly the same in the World Hurdle this year, not disgraced at all in the third. Second in the Cleeve on heavy ground does seem to sort of be showing that versatility on the ground. The one concern is that he still didn't start off the season great, and he was feeling something at the beginning of the season. I thought that in his first run at Newbury, and I thought that Ascot, and it was very, when AP McCoy came in after Ascot, he said that they thought there was something wrong with the horse's back. He was feeling something. Now, I know they sent him away and had all sorts done to him, and he does seem to be back, but it's still that worry that there was the problem there in the beginning. But if he's anything back to the horse he was last year, like I say, I absolutely take my hat off to him, because he must be one hardy soul to sort of come back off that and be running the races he does. But just with that in mind, I'm quite happy to go with Zarkander. I think that there is a big 3-miler in him, and I think tomorrow's the day.
Okay. At Fisher's Cross, like I said, obviously had problems early on in the season, but he has run two good races at the back end of the season, one over this course and distance last year in the Sefton. And I quite like his chances, but I also quite like Melodic Rendezvous. If you are going for Zarkander, I might take you on with Melodic Rendezvous, because if you go back to the Wincanton race, Melodic Rendezvous stayed on past Zarkander in a bit of a sprint finish. And I was just thinking maybe that he might just outstay him again.
Yeah, and I think it's probably the right decision now to try this step up in three, and if you're going to get three anywhere, you're going to get at Aintree.
Yeah.
He was obviously never travelling in the Champion Hurdle, but he fair play to Connections. They had to go and find out. Possibly, if the Champion had been run on heavy ground, would he have been a bit closer? I don't think he is a through and through mudlark, but I think it definitely plays to his strengths. As I said, beginning of the sort of summary, I don't think it's a bad race at all. Very interested to see how Whisper steps up to this company. But yeah, good old Zarkander for me.
Okay, Zarkander then in the 250, and on to the big one, the 415, the Crabbies Grand National Chase, a grade 3 handicap over 4 miles and 3 furlongs, or the extended 4 miles and 3 furlongs. We have betting on the site, of course, and T for 3 currently the 8-1 market leader. Long run is 12-1 second favourite. Money 477 continuing to be backed now that AP McCoy is on board. 14s into 12s today. Was 20s into 14s yesterday, I think. Monbeg Dude 12-1, 14s for Tidal Bay, 16s for Rocky Creek. Bit of money for Baltazar King, 20-1 into 16-1, 20s for Triola Delenn, Prance de Beauchene in Burtonport, Pinot de Ray, the package, all 20-1. Big Shoe is 25-1, and then 33-1 or bigger prices the rest. Normally in the National, I have one really strong opinion that that's the first one I back, and then I try and find a few others as well. This year, I think it's quite difficult to have a really strong definitive opinion for me. I don't know what it is about this year's renewal. I just don't know if it's just that open, but how do you see it?
I think you're right. I think it's very, very open, probably one of the most open, and I also think it's a very classy National, but of course, you know, we are seeing that more and more in this new dawn of the Grand National, because it is. I mean, I didn't even realise they jumped Beaches yesterday in the Fox Hunters. You don't recognise it as such now, do you? But look, the modifications had to be made. That's fair enough. Personally, I loved the old fences, but I understand why the new ones were put in place. Obviously, that's a whole different discussion. My standout selection, Mark, is, as I've always been a bit like you, my one main selection, and then look for a few others. My standout selection is Rocky Creek. When he won the novice chase in Warwick last year, I just thought, right, that's a future Grand National horse. I just think he needs an extreme trip over a flat galloping track. Twice he's run at Cheltenham, he's not really looked in love with the place. See, we saw him coming second to the Giant Bolster in the Argento, which was a much improved run on his run in the Albert Bartlett of 2012, when he was a little bit under the weather that day, but just, you know, he was still a young horse then, just didn't look at home on the undulations. He loves tracks such as Newbury, Doncaster, wouldn't be that dissimilar to Aintree. When he ran at Aintree last year behind Dinast, just think he found everything happening a little bit too quickly for him. Obviously, that was over three mile one on the Mild May track. But again, a 3 mile one on the Mild May track at Aintree is pretty trappy. It's totally different to a 3 mile one that you're going to get at places like Cheltenham. I just think that he found everything happening a little bit too quick for him, and he did actually hit a few and blundered away his chances, beaten 24 lengths by Dinast in the end. So look, you know, Dinast is a Grade One performer, so there is no disgrace in that. He second in the Hennessy, just ran out of it by Triola Delenn. And just sort of think the 3 mile two is, yeah, it's a trip, but I think he needs a longer trip. Apart from the sort of blunders that we've seen him maybe put in on the Mild May last year, he jumps well in the main, and I've just always seen him as a Grand National horse. When he won his point in Ireland back in Carrick 2 in February of 2011, he actually beat his stablemate Rolling Aces and the horse that's with Steve Gollings now, called Barda Line, and beat Swab Hadrig as well, who was sort of hotly fancied for a Cheltenham handicap. You know, that was a pretty good point. People who were at that point-to-point that day sort of told me that he was one of the best newcomers he'd ever seen, and I believe that he was actually bought whilst he was still at the track for £250,000. So he was obviously bought, you know, with a big future in mind. I've always seen him as a Grand National horse. Whether this comes a year too soon or not is my concern.
Yeah, that would be my concern.
Yeah.
He's only had 7 starts.
He has, yeah. And obviously in terms of the Grand National, 8 is still quite young. But I'm willing to take the chance, the fact that he's lining up here. And I have always seen him as that type. I can't desert him now. My second selection is Big Shoe.
Okay.
Reason being, obviously, as we know with Baltazar King, Banks course form doesn't always translate to ancient form, which is quite bizarre, really, seeing as they'd be quite similar. He'll stay. The reason why is he jumps well in the main. He has come down in a hunter chase that punches down in the past, but in the main he jumps well. He also stays. You've seen him win at 4 mile 1 in Ireland in heavy going. So basically, the fact that they were actually going to originally skip the cross country at Cheltenham and go straight to the national, but obviously he put in a sort of eye-catching performance at the race at Punchestown at the beginning of February, which led them to go back to the cross country at Cheltenham. I don't think he was knocked about when his chance had gone. I'm not saying that there was anything untoward in that run, because there absolutely wasn't. He was off for his life, but you know, once the chance had gone, he wasn't knocked around. And we saw Silver Birch, obviously Big Shoe came third in the cross country. We saw Silver Birch come second in the cross country and go on to win a Grand National. It would be a great story. He's from a tiny yard on the Curragh in County Kildare, and as we said before we came on air, Mark, there's always a story behind the Grand National.
Yeah.
And I would absolutely love to. There was a big interview with his connections on Channel 4 yesterday, and they're all pretty nervous. It would be a wonderful story if Big Shoe went and won. But like you say, we could sit here for the next 2 hours and make a case for every horse in the field. It is a fantastic renewal of the Grand National, and I said the buzz is incredible, and just sort of almost feel that we're part of it doing a preview on it. Do you know what I mean?
If Big Shoe wins, are you going to take the credit?
I can't take them because I've put out Rocky Creek as my main selection. The one horse I'm slightly concerned about, Mark, and I know you are too, is Long Run.
Yeah.
Long Run is fantastic. He's so brave, and he's such a classy horse. But we've seen more and more this season that his jumping is a problem. I know that they do everything they can to sort his jumping out.
Yeah, from what I've heard, he's been schooling over national type fences to impress them as well, which is interesting. But he's still vulnerable to belting one for me, and that'll get him in a lot of trouble in the national.
It is, and even if he belts one and he's got something going on in front of him and Sam goes out the side door, that's no slur on Sam, because look at his ride on Warren yesterday with textbook. But you know, that can happen in the national, and that's just my concern. Or not, because we all know that Long Run can find a leg. Like, we've seen him walk through fences before and still win. We know he has that ability to save himself, but it's just whether he blunders one and gets too far back.
Yeah.
That's my concern. If Long Run is jumping, it could either be a triumph or a disaster, really, couldn't it?
Yeah.
If he's jumping and he's still there at the last, then of course, he's got over the worst part. I honestly don't know what way it will go with him, but I'm just worried about his jumping.
Yeah, I think it'll be one or the other. I think he'll either run an absolute blinder and he'll jump like a stag and he'll be staying on, and everyone will say, well, he's the class horse in the race, and you know, why did we overlook him? Or it'll be a case of he just won't take to it and it'd be too far back to get involved. And that's what I can't weigh up about Long Run, and I don't know. It's one of those where if you saw him when you go, well, fair enough, he probably had every right to, but I just don't think he will.
Yeah, no, same here. I can't back him from what I know of his jumping, but from what you know of him as a performer, then yeah, of course. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'll certainly be keeping a very close eye on him throughout the race.
That would be a story as well. We mentioned that there's always a Grand National story.
Yes,
Long Run being a Gold Cup winner, and then sort of falling away in the last couple of seasons to bounce back in the national would be something, wouldn't it?
And is it Golden Miller and Lascargo, isn't it?
Yeah.
So pity Steve Powell's not here. he'll kill me when he listens to this. No, I mean, it's a compliment, Steve. I his love of the national is to be applauded.
Yeah, or obsessive.
We can always ask Darren as well. But yeah, no, I mean, I know it's really weird. I normally go with three in the national, so like my main selection and two. But I'm actually going to stick with two this year, my main selection and Big Shoe, because I'm struggling. Also, I'm miffed by the placing of Hunt Ball here.
Hmm.
I feel a little bit sorry for Humphrey. I thought his run in the Ryanair was really showing that he's coming back to himself. And I thought, oh, great, there's going to be a great little 2 mile five race for Humphrey somewhere, and he'll pop up. I don't understand that. I think, you know, he could have run in the Melling today and been in with a shout because it's quite a weak grade one. I've never seen Humphrey as a 4 mile three performer in my life. I remember seeing him absolutely legless in the Argento, granted on heavy ground, but I just, that to me is a bit of a head scratcher. But I believe it's more of the owner's decision. Obviously, the owners are American and want the horse to line up here. Obviously, they're still dreaming of Ben Nevis in 1980. And look, up to the owners. But personally, if he was my horse, he wouldn't be. Not because of the nature of the race, but purely because of the trip.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't scream like he wants 4 miles to anybody, really, does he? Okay, so that's those ones. We haven't mentioned too much about T4-3, who is the current market leader.
I was going to save that for you because I know you've got an angle on him.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that he ran well in the race last year, didn't quite stay in the end, but he was ridden very prominently earlier on.
Yes.
So if they just keep hold of him a little bit longer, I think they'll learn from that and they'll know to just keep hold of him a little bit longer. He gets enough of lighter weight this year. I think is it £3 in the handicap, which equates to £5 in the weights or something like that?
Yes.
And you know he's going to stay, you know he's going to jump well, providing no mishaps. And I think he's bang there, and that would be a story as well, to finish third in the race and then follow up the last place horse to win.
Amberley
House. Yeah.
I think it was with Alex the other day. I had a discussion about T4-3. And I just wonder, I think I said it on there as well, I just wonder if we're going to see different tactics this year. Do you remember when Hedge Hunter came down at the last?
Yes.
And then went on to win the net? Obviously, he was ridden quite prominently, wasn't he, the year he came down?
Yeah.
And I just wonder, are we going to see just a little bit more restraint on T4-3? Because straight away after the race last year, like you, Mark, I thought, oh, he didn't stay. But when you go back and rewatch it, you think, well, with a little bit of...
Yeah.
But yeah, because in every other race, he doesn't scream non-stayer, does he?
No.
And obviously, he's won over... He won the National Hunt Chase, wasn't it, at Cheltenham?
Yeah, 4 mile there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, obviously, that's a harder 4 mile, really, in course terrain. So, yeah, I don't think it's not, he doesn't stay. Yeah, you have, can understand his position in the market, but strangely, somehow, he's not for me. But then I wouldn't be surprised if he won. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's purely a price thing for me. Just the fact that he's 8-1.
Yeah.
If you'd give me 12s or 14s, I'd think that's not a bad each way bet, and he's probably going to be somewhere near. I'm hoping he drifts on the day, actually, because with the McCoy factor on 77, and I've heard that Monbeg Dude's quite well backed and stuff like that. I'm thinking that maybe he might drift a little bit, and that would make it very interesting to me. So
I think a horse probably that's got the chance of making the frame as well is the Irish horse Leon de Burney.
Yeah.
Obviously won an Irish National a couple of years back, and he won sort of a big chase again in Fairy House in heavy ground, over to a sort of an adequate trip, really, of 2 mile five and a half. But never seen anything from him that he wouldn't take to these fences. I think he's got a great chance of making the frame. But it's interesting to see Burton Port as well, isn't it? And here, you know, he sort of looked with the they may be saving him for this. You know, he was always going to go here, and a much improved performance last time out. But he actually bled from the nose last time out quite badly, didn't he? I remember I wasn't at Newbury that day, but I remember thinking it was quite sort of visible on TV. So hopefully, if there's no problems from there, you could give him a squeak.
Yeah.
Obviously, once was he fourth in a Gold Cup? He was, wasn't he? So, you know, again, a very classy performer getting on here in 10-8. But yeah, we could go on all day.
Yeah, just one more from my perspective to throw in there as well is Baltazar King. You mentioned that you like Big Shoe. It's pretty much the same story with Baltazar King for me. Obviously, you'd expect a horse that's good over the Banks courses to be good in the National, jumps well, stays well, ran a blinder in the... showed his guts and determination to win the cross country this year. And if that hasn't taken too much out of him, the concern for me is that that was a tough race, a big finish for him, wasn't it? And the fact that he didn't really take to the National last year, so that's a bit of a concern. But I'd still think that if you want a horse that stays and jumps well, he's one of them. So The only problem is he's been packed. he's too short now. I were liking the look of him about 25 to 1. He's 16s now. So.
Yeah.
So that's scuppered my thoughts a little bit. But yeah, we've been talking for about 15, 20 minutes now. So let's wrap it up then, Catherine. Let's get your selections for the Grand National.
Selections of Grand National, main selection Rocky Creek, and with Big Shoe as my second selection.
Okay, good stuff. Should be a fantastic day on Saturday. Really looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Catherine.
No problem, Mark.
Good luck with your selections and enjoy Grand National Day.
Thank you, you too.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry looking ahead to Saturday's big racing. It's the Grand National, the biggest race of the year, and you'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:05 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. They'll provide you with all of the day's action. We'll have the full card at Aintree, a card that contains three Grade 1s and the big race, of course, the Grand National. Alongside that, we have Chepstow, Lingfield and Newcastle, and there's the evening meeting from Wolverhampton as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. The biggest race of the year just so happens to be included in that as well. So make sure you tune in for all of the action on Grand National Day. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.